Joining me now online is Lindsay Smith from lindsaysmith.com. How are you doing, Lindsay?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just great. And in the studio, Michael Kozlowski from goodereader.com. Michael, thanks for coming in.
No problem, Steve.
We are going to start things off today by having a chat about the biggest news, I guess, and certainly in the Canadian ebook space in the last little while, is Kobo launching their Color e-reader, which is really more of a junior tablet. But Kobo has released and actually announced and released within about a 3 or 4 week period the Vox e-reader, which is their Color 7-inch tablet, and it's now shipping. So we've got them in our hands. What do you guys think? First of all, Michael, what's your first impressions?
I like it. I find that it's exactly what Kobo needed to bolster their portfolio. They have a number of e-ink-based e-readers, and in order to compete with the Amazon Kindle Fire and, you know, other color devices such as the Penn Digital Novel that you can get at Future Shop, they needed to come out with this, and they needed to put their own spin on it in order to make it unique in the market.
What about you, Lindsay? What was your first thought?
I like it. I think that it's definitely going to carve a good niche for itself in the marketplace. I think the people that already have a simplistic e-reader, one of the black and white ones, and they're looking for the next step, but they're not quite sold on tablets. I mean, the fact that this one's only $199, it gives them kind of an introductory feel for what a tablet would be like.
Yeah, and this is the thing about the Vox and the Kindle Fire, which is not going to be as appealing a product in Canada just because of the way the Amazon ecosystem's working. But they really are hybrid devices. They aren't ebook readers. They're because they're running the Android operating system and they're color, they're Wi-Fi capable, they're coming shipping with web browsers and email clients and app stores and the ability to kind of turn them into your very own tablet. So in some ways they're competing, I guess, with Samsung's Galaxy Tab and other devices like that, and certainly to a small extent with the iPad.
Yeah, I mean, it's really what you want the device for. If you're looking for, there's different types of tablets and you would get them for different needs. You would get the Kobo Vox if you wanted a social reading experience. And the Kobo Vox is pretty well one of the best tablets suited for e-readers available to Canadians. Face it, there's a lot of tablets on the marketplace, but a lot of them are overpriced and they don't really do what you need them to do in order for that to get a solid reading experience. With the Kobo Vox, they really put a lot of social media elements in your hands. For instance, they have launched a new service called Kobo Pulse. Mm. And what this does is this allows you to talk with other people in real time that are reading the same book as you. And you could see how many people are reading the book. You can vote up, vote down specific comments. Even it gives you the ability to not read any spoilers. So you wouldn't be able to read any comments by people that are not further in the book than you are.
Mm. Do you like that idea, Lindsay?
I do like the idea. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the traditional book club concept where, I mean, people get together with others in their neighborhood and they talk about what's going on. They all read a book together and then they talk about it. I've never belonged to a book club, but from what I understand. Any of you guys belong to a book club?
No.
No.
No. What did I understand?
But unlike you, I know that you're not that avid a fiction reader, are you?
No, I like more nonfiction, and I mean I could get into sci-fi once in a while, but that's my nerdy side coming out.
I have gone through periods in my life until very recently where I was an avid reader. I just consumed huge volumes of books, and it's due to not due to my lack of interest in books now, but my eyesight. I have some issues with my eyes. My eyes get tired very quickly, and these sorts of things. So I don't do as much reading now. I'm still consuming audiobooks. Mm-hmm. At a great rate. So for me, this social component of what Kobo is bringing to the table, I think that's a pretty exciting concept. And there's several aspects to that, because the feature you were just talking about, Michael, is only one of two social aspects that Kobo is building into this product.
Right. They're also building Reading Life, which has been available in their iPad and Android apps for quite some time. It basically gives you statistics. It tells you, what your average, page turn rate is, how long it takes you to read a book. It even gives you rewards and achievements. So based on a myriad of factors, you know, what types of books that you read at certain times, how long, you know, has it taken you to read a book from like start to finish, genre based types of things. And then you could share all those sort of things via Facebook or Twitter. So
I don't know if I want people to know how slowly I read books. That would just make me look silly.
Yeah. Well, you could turn those things off.
It's optional. Yeah.
But that whole social aspect of adding extra layers to the reading experience, be it sharing an experience with others or creating some sort of feedback on yourself. I know we did a review on one of the apps called the Goodreader app. I think it's called the Goodreads. Mm-hmm. Goodreads, which is a wonderful app that that allows people to kind of keep a diary of all of the books that they've read and keep statistics from that way. Those sorts of things really are enriching the reading experience for avid readers.
I think so. I mean, traditionally reading's a bit of a solitary experience when you're curled up in a book. Late at night or during the day or on the beach or on vacation. It's a solitary experience. Kobo is making reading social. And so, traditionally with book clubs, it's a very, very small percentage of people that actually do it. And Kobo is actually giving that ability to anybody that has their device, which I find is great.
Let's take a look at the difference between the Kobo Touch and the Kobo Vox, since we're just going to talk about their products today. The Kobo Touch retails for $140, and it is a 7-inch e-ink screen. Now, the screen will last, the battery will last for weeks and weeks on this particular item, and it's very, very light. The Kobo Vox, the screen, the battery's going to last you maybe 8 hours of use, but it is a color screen, and it's only $60 more. It's $200. And for that, you get more than color. You get, of course, the whole web browsing experience and email, which I think you can do a little bit of email on the Kobo Touch, but it's not really optimized for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you've got much more of the tablet experience. Is the color the key to the Kobo Vox, or is it the Android operating system as far as you're concerned?
I think it's both. Let's talk about Android first. Kobo has maintained, and when we actually visited Toronto and spoke with Michael Cervinius, the CEO of Kobo, he told us before the Kobo Vox was even released that they really were trying to make the Vox an open ecosystem. So you can load any type of Android app that you want via the micro SD card or by plugging into your computer and downloading apps from the internet or installing different markets on it.
That's a concern for me. Now, Lindsay, you've dived recently into the Android world with your new phone that you're so much in love with.
I'm using the new Samsung Galaxy. It's actually not the latest version, but it's a Galaxy Inspire, and it's running an Android platform. And I feel like I've completely immersed myself in it. And being an avid iPhone user before, it's definitely been a change, and there's things that I absolutely love about the Android system over the OS, the mobile OS system, but there's definitely differences. But I have to say that, like, if someone took away the Android from me tomorrow, I could easily go back to the iPhone and be just as happy. But I'm definitely enjoying these added features, just things like being able to have a kind of more of a desktop experience on the screen, and then having your apps one layer down.
Well, here's my concern. As far as I'm concerned, your ebook reader is an appliance. It's not a computer, and it's really not a tablet. It's an appliance, so it should be plug and play completely. You shouldn't have to think about what version you're running, what operating system, how much memory you have, in determining which apps you can be running, and that sort of thing. The iPad, for example, if you can find it in the iPads in the Apple App Store, it runs on the iPad. That is not necessarily going to be the case with everything that we look at in the Android App Store on the Kobo Vox, because it's running a slightly older version of the Android OS. So some things won't work. It doesn't have all of the features. So now the user is going to have to determine what works and what doesn't work for them. Is that a concern for me? Is it a concern for you?
I wouldn't say it's a concern, but I'd say it's definitely a much more cumbersome process in order to find apps that work on these devices. iPhone has just really simplified the process where you go in and you know whatever app you're going to get on there is a good app. And I find that, at least speaking from an on the phone perspective, that's not always the case. Like, I had to search for 5 different apps before I found a good visual voicemail option.
Yeah. And Michael, and let me bring it, rather than talking about phone, let's talk about that and bring it back to the Kobo Touch, which is an appliance. It is, you sign up for their online service. You download a book. There's no worry at all as to whether or not the format of the book is going to work on the Kobo or any of the little apps that are running on it are going to run, because it's a closed system. And in as an appliance, I think that probably fits a little bit better than, I think some people are going to be a little bit surprised by the irregularities that they're going to find in the Vox. Of course, they're also going to be pleasantly surprised by the extra things they can do, but that's the yin and the yang of a device like this.
Yeah, I mean, with the Kobo Touch, you're buying it just to read books. With the Kobo Vox, you're buying it not only to read books, but to do a slew of other things. Like you mentioned, email, web browsing, installing apps. There's pretty well, it's endless with Android. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of apps available. So you read newspapers, magazines, if you're into reading, but you also play Angry Birds, and other things if you're into games.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. We've got lots more to talk about as far as the ebook world. There's lots of news on the ebook front, plus we have lots of other topics to cover. We've got Michael Kozlowski from goodereader.com. We have Lindsay Smith from lindsaysmith.com. I'm Steve Dotto from dottotech.com. And art is just art.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.